with your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Sometimes it's hard to get a read on the stock market, especially in October, with what seemed like broad sell-offs at least once a week. We'll clear things up in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Annual home price gains fell below 6% for the first time in a year in August. That's a continuation of the slowdown in the housing market and a sign that the weakness is becoming widespread and is likely to persist in the months to come. More than 5 years of rapidly rising prices combined with higher mortgage rates are making homes increasingly unaffordable for buyers. Rates for a 30-year mortgage averaged 4.86% last week, up nearly a full percentage point from the beginning of the year. At the same time, U.S. consumer confidence rose in October to its highest level since September of 2000. Economists at the Conference Board say Americans' assessment of present conditions remained positive primarily because of strong employment growth. And despite a slowing housing market and rising interest rates, the proportion of consumers who say they plan to buy a home in the next 6 months rose in October, and a larger proportion of Americans say they plan to buy a car in the coming months. October's numerous stock market sell-offs did not seem to faze consumers. That's mainly because stocks tend to be held by wealthier Americans, and job prospects appear to matter more to lower-income consumers when gauging sentiment. And the jobless rate is at its lowest level since 1969. For the month of October, we could view the ups and downs of the stock market like the chapters of a book. But is the book the story of strength, a coming-of-age story, a tragedy with darker clouds yet to come? Let's get some insight from Wall Street Journal columnist James McIntosh. So James, it's not just the U.S. stock market that has been experiencing gyrations and volatility in October. Markets around the world have seen and shown similar jitters.
That's right. It's been really quite messy everywhere. It's looking, well, so far like a correction in lots of places. When you put it into dollar terms, so you strip out the currency moves, most markets are down as much or more than the US. There are a few that have done a little bit better, but not even they are still down. It's rare indeed to find a market that's up in October so far. This is partly because, of course, the US, people take their lead off the US. It's a big, important market. But it's also partly because people are starting to grow concerned about the economy, and that's showing up in lots of places.
Now, in terms of the US market, you more or less see the story of the market as a story of strength because you see the declines as a healthy correction.
Yeah, I mean, a story of strength, maybe taking it a bit far. I mean, obviously, falling prices is hard to see as a great thing unless you are sitting on cash and want to invest it. But nonetheless, yes, I think that this is primarily about, and indeed clearly started with, a correction in the high-flying sort of disruptive technology stocks, the FANGs, people like Amazon in particular, Netflix. These stocks that had made huge gains this year were also then the biggest fallers as the fall started in the early part of the month. But the narrative, you started talking about this being chapters of a book. The narrative started with this correction in the tech stocks, which I regard as pretty healthy because I thought they'd gone up too far. So them coming back down, that's fine. But now people are starting to grow concerned about the economy, and that's showing up in lots of different places in the markets. And of course, in the generalized global sell-off, which isn't primarily about technology. That's a bigger and more worrying phenomenon if it turns out to be right.
And, you know, the market being a forward-looking indicator, investors are very concerned about geopolitics and about the ongoing strength and ongoing recovery of the economy, like you mentioned.
The market wants, or investors want, to try and anticipate the economy in the future because, of course, a stronger economy typically means better profits, which is good for the share prices. And at the moment, they're anticipating that the economy won't be as strong as they thought. And, you know, maybe that's because they were over-optimistic before, but it's not obvious that much has actually changed this month in economic terms. terms. And, you know, a little bit's changed in geopolitical terms around Italian politics and Italy's confrontation with the European Commission over its budget, and also obviously in Saudi Arabia and their relationship with Turkey and the rest of the world. And they're an important oil supplier, or the most important oil supplier. Nonetheless, these are not obviously the direct causes of what's been going on. So I think broadly people have just become more cautious, and because the market's falling, they're translating that into bad news for the economy.
You know, but one thing that is significant is that the market instability is likely to result in the Federal Reserve lowering the number of interest rate increases we could expect in 2019, and that could fuel the market in some respect.
Well, yes, certainly. I mean, it's possible. At the moment, the market, as part of its sort of marking down of future economic growth, has also been lowering its expectation of Fed rate hikes. And that, of course, in principle, could, if the market's right about that, and that's far from clear, but if the market is right, then the, you know, an easier Fed could, of course, come to the rescue of the stock market. And, it, you know, Donald Trump's recent tweets, he absolutely was very strongly in favor of the Fed stepping back and not raising rates as fast as it has been. But nonetheless, it's not clear whether the Fed will ride to the rescue. Indeed, a 10% fall in the stock market is not something that the Federal Reserve should react to. Maybe it will, but I wouldn't get your hopes up if that's what you're betting on.
All right, good reason to sit tight and pay attention to the markets through WSJ.com into 2019. That is Wall Street Journal columnist James McIntosh joining us from our London bureau. James, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.